You might think that perfect harmony is the defining characteristic of healthy relationships, but the truth is that human interactions are messy, they're complicated, and confusing. No surprise there. And according to renowned psychologist Ed Tronick and pediatrician Claudia Gold, that is not only okay, it's actually crucial to our social and emotional development. In their new book, The Power of Discord, they show how working through the inevitable dissonance of human connection is the path to better relationships with romantic partners, family, friends, and colleagues. They say working through the volley of mismatch and repair in everyday life helps us form deep, lasting, trusting relationships, resilience in times of stress and trauma, and a solid sense of self in the world. Again, the name of the book is The Power of Discord: Why the Ups and Downs of Relationships Are the Secret to Building Intimacy, Resilience, and Trust. And we welcome Ed Tronick and Claudia Gold to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for having us.
Very good to have you on the program. Claudia, I'll begin with you only because you made this comment to me in an email, which I thought was funny, which basically said when you started writing this book about Discord, you never thought that it would be released at sort of the height of Discord.
Yes, I have felt kind of a responsibility to really examine what the book has to add to this very complex conversation we're having as a society. And I think, both in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic and the kind of interface with the Black Lives Matter movement, I do think that it does give us some insight in that it's very, very difficult, families at home with their children, so many messy moments to navigate, and that all those moments are opportunities for growth. And we certainly don't want to go back to normal, and it's an opportunity for a new normal, a better normal. And I think in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement, what I see is that we've had 400 years of smoothing over brutal systemic racism, and what I see happening now is that the protests and the discord is really providing the energy that we need to make the really huge changes that we need to build a healthy society.
So, Ed, let's talk about the sort of the basics here of what it is you wanted to discover in this book, what the questions were that you wanted to answer.
The work that I've always done has focused on the development of social-emotional development in infants and parents and their relationships. And what we came to see was that those relationships are not smooth. Anyone who's interacted with a young child or infant has seen that it's a messy interaction, that sometimes you're coordinated, sometimes you're not. And the question I asked was, how do we understand that? And what we came to realize in our work was that the messiness in good interactions is one that gets repaired quickly and new things come out of it, new ways of relating to one another. And then as soon as you find a new way to do things, then some other kind of messiness comes along. And then there's now the possibility for something new to be created. And in the current context, if we think about the messiness that we have now, both with the virus and with the systemic racism or the protests against it, the messiness is now all around us. And one possibility that we face is to deal with the upset that comes with the messiness. We restrict ourselves and become constricted. Or the other possibility is that, in a sense, we see the messiness as a possibility and we hold on to it. And then we find new and co-creative ways to find a new normal. But I even resist the term normal. It would be a new way of being with one another and engaging with the world.
Let us talk for a moment, and Ed, I'll begin with you, and then Claudia, we'll have you chime in on this as well. But how do you define messiness? How do you normally see that manifest itself?
The way I see messiness is in looking at parents and infants interacting, and I'm talking about 6-month-olds, one-year-old. Is that there are times that where the parent and the infant are mutually smiling with one another, they're engaging in a vocal dialogue with one another, and they're really coordinated. And then very quickly, very often, that matching of what they're doing comes apart, and there's a mismatching. The infant looks off to the side, the parent gets distracted, someone misreads the cues. And it turns out this is also what we do in our adult relationships. We're coordinated for a period of time, and then we're discoordinated, and we repair it, and we get back to a matching state. And it's an ongoing and continuous process. So rather than the fantasy that we have relationships that are like dancing the way Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers dance, most people have relationships that are much like the way at least I dance, which is coordinated for a little bit of time, very little bit of time, and then a discoordination and then a coming back together again. And that coming back together again, we feel connected to the other person. We feel like, wow, we really did it together. And it makes me feel like maybe I can dance. My wife still disagrees with that.
Claudia, talk a little bit about that and the messiness, especially when it comes to your work as a pediatrician.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say that my way into this work was through children and parents as a pediatrician. And I would see efforts to smooth over problems with behavior management, increasingly with medication. That was how my first book came to be. And in contrast, when I would really kind of open things up, and often there were a lot of very painful feelings, difficult feelings, looking at how children were often dysregulated or very fussy from birth, and opening up the complexity or messiness of the situation when a parent and a child were struggling, would often, and I think a tantrum kind of holds the whole complexity. So when a child has a tantrum and a parent stays with them through their worst moment, and they have this kind of joyful relief at the end when they've gotten through it and come to some kind of new understanding, that's that kind of moment of growth. And I think that I, now that I've been working with Ed now very closely for a number of years, I see it everywhere. So in relationships, in new couples who are, you know, young adult couples, even in our relationships with our elderly parents, there are always these kind of moments of misunderstanding. And if we try to smooth them over, then the relationship kind of becomes stagnant. But if we engage in the complexity of all the issues and we find our way to the other side, then our relationship has an opportunity to grow and strengthen throughout our lifespan.
To take Ed's example one step further, it takes two to tango. So we hear so often in relationships that the work is divided. So here, especially when you're talking, Claudia, about children, it really, a large part of the burden does fall on the parents, doesn't it?
I think that one trap of this kind of model is that it can be heard as blaming parents, you know, when you're emphasizing the importance of the relationship. And I think what's core about our book and about our work is that there is, we need to put the issue of blame aside, because there are two people in every relationship, and each one affects the other in moment to moment over time. And, you know, when things go wrong, it's no more the parent's fault than it is the child's fault. There are just ways in which things are not working well, and in order to get things to work better, the contribution of each in the relationship needs to be taken into account. So I think Ed and I we use the work of pediatrician D.W. Winnicott, who talked about the good enough mother, and Ed and I came up with the term the good enough baby, because I think that that is a risk, that it feels all like the burden on the parent. But there are two people, and each one affects the other. And I think when we think about it that way, then it feels like less of a burden, I hope.
If I could add, what we find in our research on infants and parents, we videotape the interactions and we do really detailed coding, is that in fact the infants initiate many of the changes in the interaction. And in fact, when there's a mismatch, it's almost as likely that the infant will make the repair as the parent does. So the focus needs to be not on each individual, but on the way the relationship gets structured. So are they doing it? John, you bring up the idea that they're doing the tango. You do the tango together, or you do the waltz together, and you both have to be able to fit with the other in order to do it. And that's where the messiness comes from, and that's where the repairs come from.
What do you think people can learn from this about this idea of building intimacy and resilience and trust, of learning just how important those elements are to a relationship?
If I can go first.
Of course.
What may help people to think about it is that when you're discoordinated with someone and then you get re-coordinated with them. I know none of your listeners have, you know, fights or problems with their, say, partners, but I do.
Right.
And when my wife and I repair some disagreement that we have, we feel more connected. We feel a better sense of self. We feel good about ourselves. And the joke that we have between us is that when things get messy, when we have this kind of disagreement, we can look at each other and say, not quite, isn't this great, but this holds out at least the possibility that we can make something better and not just fall into an old pattern, but create something new.
Claudia,
and so I would like to see people appreciate the messiness and not be worried or frightened by it.
Claudia, we have less than a minute, but go ahead.
I would just tie it into our current situation, which is that we seek a feeling of safety, and the way we develop a sense of safety is by immersing ourselves in messiness with people close to us and developing or continuing to develop a sense of trust. And we need to have a trust in other people who are close to us to feel safe, which allows us to navigate this particularly challenging time that we all find ourselves in.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, both of you. The book is fascinating, and it's such an interesting subject, especially now. The Power of Discord: Why the Ups and Downs of Relationships Are the Secret to Building Intimacy, Resilience, and Trust. Ed Tronick and Claudia Gold are the authors. The book is published by Little Brown Spark. Thank you both for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.